Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 2528. Is eating late at night bad for weight loss? Part 2 by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net. And I'm Dr. Neil. Hey there, and welcome back to Optimal Health Daily, where I read to you from some of the most popular health and fitness blogs online. Now, for a lot more blogs being narrated for you, check out Optimal Living Daily. You can search and find that podcast wherever you're listening to this. Now, today's episode is part 2 of a longer post. So if you missed part 1, then I'd recommend going back and listening to that episode first. That was episode 2527. But if you're all caught up, let's jump right in and hear part 2 and continue optimizing your life. Is eating late at night bad for weight loss? Part 2 by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net. Researchers assigned a set of overweight and obese subjects to one of two groups. The first group ate progressively smaller meals over the course of the day. Breakfast contained 700 calories, lunch 500 calories, and dinner just 200 calories. The second group did the exact opposite. They ate a small breakfast, 200 calories, and a large dinner, 700 calories. After 12 weeks, here's what happened. The big breakfast group lost, on average, 19 pounds, or about 8.7 kilograms. The small breakfast group lost just 8 pounds, or about 3.6 kilograms. Both groups lost weight for the first couple of months, but the small breakfast, large dinner group fell off the wagon at week 8, where they started to regain some of the lost weight. This isn't surprising given the large difference between the two groups in terms of hunger, the physical need for food, and satiety, the sensation of feeling full after eating. Average daily satiety scores were around 30% higher in the small dinner, large breakfast group compared to the large dinner, small breakfast group. Differences in weight loss between the two groups may have had more to do with the large, protein-rich breakfast suppressing hunger during the day than it did with a large dinner somehow slowing weight loss. By the way, the large protein-rich breakfast contained about 55 grams of protein. In addition, subjects were prescribed just 3 meals a day. The meal plans given to the police officers in the earlier trial included a mid-morning and mid-afternoon snack. This may have blunted their hunger, making it easier to get through the day without deviating from the diet. What's more, this wasn't a study where the subjects were living in tightly controlled conditions. They were given some diet plans and met with a dietitian every 2 weeks. Other than that, they were on their own. What happens when compliance is taken out of the picture? In other words, how does meal timing affect body composition when subjects are confined to a metabolic ward where food intake is supervised a lot more closely? That's what a research group from the U.S. Department of Agriculture wanted to find out. They took a group of 10 women aged 23 to 39 and assigned them to one of two groups. Both groups were given a diet providing an average of 1,911 calories daily. For 6 weeks, the first group ate most, or about 70% of their calories, early in the day. Group 2 consumed the majority, or 70% of their calories, later in the day. For the second 6 weeks of the study, the group switched to the alternate meal pattern. As I mentioned earlier, this was a metabolic ward study. Rather than being given some meal plans and told to go away and get on with it, the women taking part in this study lived in a metabolic suite 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This gave the researchers a lot more control over what their subjects ate. During both periods, subjects received 4 meals daily. Breakfast was served between 8 and 8:30 a.m., lunch between 11:30 a.m. and 12 p.m., while dinner was eaten between 4:30 and 5 p.m. An evening snack was served between 8 and 8:30 p.m. During the p.m. meal pattern, when calorie intake was greatest in the afternoon and evening, the women consumed 15% of their calorie intake at breakfast, 15% at lunch, 35% at dinner, and 35% at the evening snack. This pattern was reversed during the a.m. meal pattern. 7 days each week, the women walked outdoors for approximately 60 minutes. They also performed 5 additional bouts of aerobic exercise, treadmill walking or cycling, and each bout burned around 300 calories. 3 circuit training sessions were also included in the program. At first glance, the results appear to support the popular recommendation to avoid larger meals later in the day, as the greatest weight loss occurred with the large morning meals. However, the increase in weight loss was actually due to greater muscle loss. Women consuming more calories in the morning lost an extra couple of pounds, or around 1 kilogram of muscle, than subjects consuming the majority of their calories in the afternoon and evening. What about body fat? Timing of the meals had no consistent effect on body fat. During the first 6 weeks of the study, women given the majority of their calories later in the day lost the most fat. During the second 6 weeks of the study, there was no statistically significant difference in fat loss between the two groups, although there was a trend towards greater fat loss in women following the AM meal pattern. When the results from both periods were combined, there was almost no difference in fat loss between the AM and PM meal patterns. One of the main limitations with the study is that bioelectrical impedance analysis, or BIA, was used to track fat loss and muscle growth. BIA is not a very reliable way to estimate changes in body composition, with some studies showing that it's less accurate than BMI. The small amount of muscle loss seen in the AM group could simply be because of measurement error. That limitation aside, this was a very tightly controlled study. It's the only meal timing trial to include a structured training program and does hint at a small advantage to increasing calorie intake towards the end of the day. Final thoughts. You can drop fat with a wide variety of diets and meal timing patterns, with your ability to stick to the diet being more important than anything else. If you find that the conventional large breakfast and small dinner advice leaves you hungry, try doing it the other way around. It's up to you to choose the one that fits your lifestyle. There's no strong evidence to suggest that either dietary strategy delivers vastly superior results. As long as you adhere to a few basic dietary guidelines, the way you distribute your calories over the course of the day can be left to personal preference and won't have a great deal of impact on your progress one way or the other. You just listened to part 2 of the post titled, "Is Eating Late at Night Bad for Weight Loss?" by Christian Finn of MuscleEvo.net, and I'll be right back with my commentary.
CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver 3 essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe Facial Moisturizers with SPF, from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Dr. Neil here for my commentary. So, to answer Christian's question, is eating late at night bad for weight loss? It seems like the answer is no, it's not bad for weight loss. To quote Christian, it's up to you to choose the one that fits your lifestyle. You can drop fat with a wide variety of diets and meal timing patterns. Your ability to stick to the diet is more important than anything else. And in fact, this was a relief for me. I am not a big breakfast eater. I never really have been. Anytime I eat a large breakfast, it makes me feel sick and it actually ruins my workout. Luckily, Christian's conclusion is also similar to what multiple meta-analyses have found. I like looking at results from meta-analyses because of the way those studies are conducted. Meta-analyses are giant research studies, hence the term meta. They look at findings from studies that were already published, studies that were conducted on a similar topic. They then lump them together and do one large analysis on all of them. For example, authors of a meta-analysis that want to know whether a Mediterranean diet helps with fat loss will find already published studies that looked at Mediterranean diets and fat loss. And then they'll summarize the findings from those studies by doing one large analysis on all of them. This makes meta-analyses super helpful when we want to find an answer to a highly debated question, like today's question. So when it comes to weight loss, multiple meta-analyses are finding that being able to stick to your meal pattern is likely most important when it comes to fat loss, as opposed to meal timing. So again, as Christian said, think about finding a balanced diet that you can stick to over the long term. That's probably what's most important when it comes to true long-term fat loss. All right, that'll do it for today. Thank you so much for coming back to listen every day and sharing this show with someone. I hope you have a great start to your week, and I'll see you back here tomorrow where your optimal life awaits.